All right. Well, thanks a lot. I really appreciate being here. And Megan, wherever she is, I thanks a lot for inviting me and the rest of the organizing committee. Nice to have this many people here this late in the day. And there's just one more talk after me, so I appreciate you guys all hanging around for that. But I'm going to be talking about some data that I haven't really talked about much in the past, and it's sort of based on a lot of the work that we've done in a herd that I manage at the University of Florida. And so I'll share some of that, and then at the end I'll talk a little bit about some of the decision aids that we've developed that may help you guys if you're producers or if you're industry professionals, AI representatives, extension professionals. You might be able to utilize these decision aid tools to help producers make decisions on whether to go out and purchase a bull or whether to use artificial insemination. As you're probably already aware, if you don't know this, I speak a little bit funny. That's because I'm from Africa. And so I always share a couple of slides. And today I'm not going to be a great ambassador to Africa. Where I'm from in southern Africa, petty crime is a bit of an issue. So you can see we've got a little bit of a little problem there. But that's likely because of our police force. You can see we got so and the greatest policeman that I think we have is so all right, so as I mentioned, you know, we have a 300-head cow-calf operation at the North Florida Research and Education Center, and it's predominantly, there's sort of three herds, Angus, Brangus, and Brayford herds, but we treat them all the same way, and our expectation of those cows is that they all are, they're expected to calve every year, and I'll go through a couple of those little details in a minute. But what we've done, we implemented a timed artificial insemination system about 6 years ago, and what I'm going to share with you is what we've done over 6 years by going from a long breeding, bull breeding season to implementing a timed AI system, and then I'll share some economics with you on that too. And a lot of this comes from the fact that, to me, pregnancy is four times, has a four times greater economic impact than any other production trait that we select for. And so I utilize that in trying to come up with a way to at least put some pressure for pregnancy or fertility on the herd. And so using this statement right there. And so this is what we did. Every cow in our herd has a little bit of a requirement that she has to accomplish. Okay, each cow in the herd has to calve by the time she's 24 months of age. She must have a calf every 365 days, so she's got a calf every year. In addition to that, she's got a calf without assistance. She must provide sufficient resources for the calf to reach its genetic potential. The calf must be genetically capable to perform, and cows must maintain body condition score. And then anything that's crazy is also eliminated from the herd. So those are the requirements that we expect from every cow in that herd. And so we started installing sort of that rule for every cow in 2008. And a lot of the thinking behind this, too, comes from some of the data that George showed a little bit earlier. And this is out of the USDA Mark. Bob Cushman published this. But heifers that give birth to their first calf in the first 21 days last longer in the herd than those animals that are born later in the 22nd to 42nd days into the calving season, or even later than that. So they remain in the herd longer, and they're more productive through their lifetime, at least through the first six or seven calves. They generate greater weaning weights. And so that was our challenge. So every heifer in our herd now, the only heifers that we keep are those animals that that become pregnant in the first 25 days of the breeding season. We will not keep a heifer that is not if a heifer becomes pregnant on the 26th day of the breeding season, even if she's the best heifer in the herd, she gets eliminated from the herd. She is a feedlot heifer at that point. Okay, so we do not keep anything that is not pregnant in the first 25 days of the breeding season. And this came to a bit of a head this year when our best heifer became pregnant 34 days into the breeding season, and probably our worst looking heifer became pregnant on the first day of the breeding season. And we had our staff, they were convinced we needed to keep the good looking heifer, and I told them that she's a feedlot heifer. So that's expectation. So let me tell you something else that So when I started speaking to our farm staff, I said, we're going to implement a timed AI system. And what do you think a lot of people say? Gee whiz, think of all the hassle factors that we have to do to install an AI breeding season. For many of you that may or may not do artificial insemination, you turn in a bull, it's quite simple. You remove the bull after the end of the breeding season, you take him out, that's a lot more simple. So a lot of reasons why people don't introduce an AI system is primarily because of the hassle factors, okay? And those can be pretty much brought down to four things. Those hassle factors ultimately are the complicated protocols. Hopefully some of the talks this morning have helped you out in understanding the protocols, but trying to understand which bulls to pick. And that's why you have industry professionals that are out there to help you. Having reliable facilities, making sure that you have facilities that can handle the animals, that's another hassle factor. And then labor to actually administer the products and to do the artificial insemination. And then time. Those are essentially the four reasons people do not want to use artificial insemination. They might come up with a bunch of other reasons, but ultimately it comes down to these four things in the long run. And so that's exactly the situation that I ran into with our farm staff, is saying, we're going to implement a timed AI system, and it is just a big collective groan. Okay, but it was tough. I run this station. So we implemented the system. So what do we have here? This right here at the top is the 2006 breeding season. In 2006, there's a 120-day breeding season, so bulls were put in on the first day of the breeding season, removed about 120 days later. To some of you, that might be a long breeding season. To many of you, that might be a third short. 2007 was exactly the same way. Okay, and then, so this is where we started talking about implementing an artificial insemination system in our herd. And so we basically said that every cow is going to be artificially inseminated. So in 2008, we had our first breeding season. We artificially inseminated the heifers on the first day of the breeding season. 1 week later, we artificially inseminated the cows that were eligible to be bred. But remember, because of the previous breeding season, many cows hadn't even calved at that point. So we had to come back and breed some late calving cows here. And then we still had to come back and breed some really late calving cows for the first time, really late in the breeding season, and then we removed the bulls about 10 days earlier. In 2009, we did exactly the same thing. We bred the heifers, we bred the cows a week later, and then we had two more breeding sessions for those late and real late cows, and removed the bulls 88 days into the breeding season. Well, in 2010, now we only had to breed cows twice. The early calving cows and then the late cows, and we removed the bulls 80 days after the start of the breeding season. 2011 was the same way, and we removed bulls at about 75 days after the start of the breeding season. So you can sort of see a trend. We started putting a little bit of pressure on those cows. We've started reducing the breeding length of the breeding season, and it's taken a lot of commitment. The toughest year was the first year, but now that everybody knows what to do, it's quite simple. It really isn't that big of a deal. Maybe it's because I'm not the one running the cows. But anyway, so 2012... look what has happened now after, this is the fifth year, every cow now qualifies to become inseminated on the first day of the breeding season. So this is the fifth year, and every cow has calved to be able to fall into that very first AI. Our breeding season length now is down to 70 days. 2013, this past year, exactly the same thing. So in 5 years, we've managed to reduce the breeding season length by 50 days. We've brought all the cows to be able to bred on the first day of the breeding season, and we've managed to do that, like I said, in 5 and 6 years. So let me show you some data. The question that I've often got is when we've done this is, well, you've really significantly reduced the length of breeding season. What has happened to your pregnancy rates? And I'm going to show you some of the pregnancy rates. So this is calving distribution. And so along the bottom here represents the day of the calving season, from the first day of the calving season to the last day of the calving season, and it's cumulative calving, what happens over time within each of those breeding seasons. And this red and olive-looking bar here represent the 2 years in which we had 120-day breeding season with bulls. And look how long it took for these cows to actually end up calving. This calving season was really strung out. And now, we didn't plan it this way, but every one of these bars represents the very next year to this blue bar on the far left, representing last year, 2013. Notice how we've gradually, over time, just shifted the average calving season all the way to the left. Now, one thing I'll tell you, is, and I hope I don't offend anybody here, but I don't really mind what we get in terms of pregnancy rates to timed AI. Our pregnancy rates have ranged from 39% to 59% in this herd, and I can't tell you which year was better or worse, but what I can tell you is the reproductive management of synchronizing the cows, regardless of the pregnancy rates, has shifted the calving season to the left. And that, to me, is more important than the actual pregnancy rate that I get to timed AI. So, let me show you now pregnancy rates from 2006 and 2007 were the bull bred years. Overall breeding season pregnancy rates were 81 and 86%. Look what has happened. We've reduced the breeding season by 50 days, and now we're getting pregnancy rates in the low 90% range. So we've reduced the breeding season length by 50 days and increased pregnancy rates, overall breeding season pregnancy rates, by about 8 to 10%. That's significant. These first few years here, the only reason we culled cows was if they were open, okay, because we couldn't get rid of more cows. We wanted to maintain 300-head cow operation. Now what do we get to do? Having pregnancy rates in the low 90% range, now we get to cull open cows, but we also get to cull cows that have bad udders, they're not weaning heavy calves, things like that. So it all builds on itself by having greater pregnancy rates. Our average calving date, so when the average calf is born into the breeding season, has changed from around 80 days all the way down to below 40 days. We've managed to do that in 6 years in that herd. But to me, this is the most important thing. And so I started putting some numbers together, taking a look at the economic advantages of what we've done and looking at the actual weaning weights of these calves and what they've brought back to our operation. And so I've put everything into today's dollars. So every one of these years that I'm talking about here is all using the same value for a calf, for a weaned calf. So I'm not using that year's calf value. I'm using today's calf values. So after instilling an AI program for the very first year, the average calf at weaning was worth an extra $87 over the average of the 2 years before that. Okay, the second year, $99. Each calf is worth $99 compared to what they were worth when they were bull bred. And look what has happened this past year. I've just got this data about a month ago. And each calf is worth $169 more than those same calves would have been had we maintained a bull breeding season 6 years ago. So to our 300-head cow-calf operation, on the average, we're bringing in about $50,000 more just by implementing a timed AI program, and that's in terms of calf value at weaning. So I think that that's fairly significant. It might buy you a half a truck or something like that. So I made the comment earlier about expectations of timed AI and pregnancy rates to timed AI, and you've probably seen several different percentages in terms of what timed AI pregnancy rates can you expect from the different protocols. And like I said, to me that is not necessarily the most important thing. It's actually applying a reproductive management system to your herd where you're putting some selection pressure on your herd for fertility. And so this is an experiment we did a year ago in a summer in 8 herds, 1,700 cows in South Dakota. And I only show you this because I want to show you some pregnancy rates. All 2 cows that received the 7-day Cosync seeder system. And you'll notice here, these are pregnancy rates, timed artificial insemination pregnancy rates. And you'll see that there are 3 operations there that had higher pregnancy rates, in the high 50s and mid-60% pregnancy rates in that operation. And then you've got 5 operations right here that had below 50% pregnancy rates. And I think very often, pregnancy rates to timed artificial insemination or any type of AI program are often oversold. Or the expectations are a lot higher than you would actually expect. So we've mined this data as much as we can, trying to identify what it is about those 8 operations. And the one thing that comes out of everything that we've looked at is the fact that these 3 operations have all artificially inseminated cows for 8 years in a row or more. These 5 operations right here had never used AI before. Quite amazing. So over time, you may end up getting higher pregnancy rates just by instilling a reproductive management system in your operation. So just be aware of that. So this is the very first herd, herd number 1, which I think had 56 or 57% pregnancy rates. And this is the days postpartum when those cows were artificially inseminated. Look how tight that synchrony is. And this surprises a lot of people, but in that herd, can anybody guess how many cows this is? And that's a really tight synchrony. That's 400 cows fit into that. That's what they've done. This herd is AI'd for 12 years in a row, all to fixed-timed AI to either the 7 or the 5-day system. And that's what they've managed to do. And they just actually emailed me this past week, and they got 70% pregnancy rates this year to fixed-timed AI. So this is herd number 5. Take a look at the days postpartum when those cows are artificially inseminated. Look how much more spread out those are. Okay, and we cannot do that. It's really tough to get a homogenous group of cows to time artificially inseminate if we haven't AI'd those year after year after year. So this is what most bull bred herds end up looking like. So just throw that out for a little bit of food for thought. So let me talk a little bit more about economics, and Roger touched on this a little bit in his presentation. And before I talk about the decision aid tool, I just want to share some data that with regards to an experiment that John Rogers, who works for Zoetis, he did his master's with me, and we did this study in 8 different operations. And what we did is we took 8 herds and we divided the cows in half. Half of those cows were just naturally mated, like they'd never seen any, they'd never saw any artificial insemination. They just had the herd bull put in on the first day of the breeding season, and then the herd bull was removed at the end of the breeding season. And then half of the cows were exposed to the 7-day Cosync plus seeder system. And the important thing here to note is that the timed AI, the semen for timed AI, had similar EPDs to the semen, to the genetics of the bulls that were used for natural service. We didn't want to have a look at the genetic improvement. What we wanted to do is look at the impact of the synchronization system on calving season distribution. Well, when you look here at, this is the number of cows in each group. When you look here at the weaning rates, about 78% of those cows that had no timed AI ended up weaning a calf 18 months after they were treated. And then about 84% of the cows that were treated with the synchronization system went through the rest of that breeding season, calved, and then weaned a calf 18 months later. So that's quite significant. About six more calves out of 100. If you treat a cow to timed artificial insemination now, 18 months now, about 6 more cows, you will end up weaning a calf than if you do not use artificial insemination. And then this is weaning weight per cow exposed to the treatment. So it's not actual weaning weight per calf that was weaned. And so this is 38 more pounds. Just by exposing a cow to a synchronization system, she'll wean you 38 more pounds per cow 18 months later. So we got all of the economic data from these eight operations, and what this essentially says here is at location number one, at least location five, that location had about a $6 loss by exposing those cows to an estrus synchronization system. But seven of the other eight locations had anywhere from a $19 to $139 advantage by exposing cows to synchronization versus not exposing cows to synchronization for an average of $49. Now, that number, $49, might not seem like a lot now, but this was done, this data was collected about 5 years ago, and so we end up with $49. So what we decided to do is to generate a model, and so this is a model that we generated, and so essentially this table represents if a producer's sitting here and he's got to decide to buy a bull now or artificially inseminate cows. If he wants to buy a $3,000 bull, $6,000 bull, or $10,000 bull, or go and artificially inseminate cows, essentially what this slide says is if you choose to purchase a $3,000 bull, you would lose about $84, $85 if you'd purchased that $3,000 bull rather than gone to use artificial insemination. If you go and buy a $10,000 bull, your advantage for AI is about $153 a cow. So in a 34-head cow-calf operation, look at the numbers right there. A $10,000 bull, your advantage for utilizing artificial insemination is about $5,200. If you have a 100-head cattle operation, just over $12,000 with a $10,000 bull, or $7,000 with a $3,000 bull. So using that, we decided, well, let's make this more available to producers out there that they can actually enter their own information, and we developed the AI calculator. It's essentially a smartphone application. If you have iTunes or Google Android system, just type in AI calculator, and you can download this for free. And this is what it looks like. And essentially, all you need to do is you click on this little thing called the calculator button, and that comes up. And if you hit this little thing that says populate sample values, it populates all of the values. And there's only about 15 different entries that you need to fill in there, but many of those values are pretty consistent, and so you only have to change about two or three of them. But it includes things like natural service costs, how much a bull maintenance costs of a bull, the costs that you'd actually go and buy a bull for. In this case, I've got $4,000 in there, and it has a lot of those different things in. If you don't understand what each of these are, you hit this little toggle switch, and it explains it to you. And so you can enter those things and make a decision on your own. So essentially, the calculator is divided into three sections. It's your natural service costs, like I talked about, the bull-related costs, your cow herd-related costs, the number of cows, or the number of bulls if you choose not to AI, the number of bulls that you need if you do AI, because you're still going to need cleanup bulls, so things like that. And then your AI-related costs, your extra labor, facilities, your extra sync products, and things like that. So those are all included. And then when you hit this little button at the end, it says calculate. If that number comes up that's green, it says, okay, if you choose to use artificial insemination, you're going to actually make a profit. Okay, but if you choose to go and purchase a bull, you're going to lose about that much money. If that number is red, it means you should go and purchase a bull. If the number comes up as green, you should choose artificial insemination. So there's also a Facebook page called the AI Calculator Facebook page, and this is how we reach a lot of people all over the country when they have questions, if they don't know how to get hold of us. But just recently, about 5 months ago, we developed the AI Calculator, the spreadsheet. It's exactly the same as the smartphone app, and you can download this at our website up there, and it has exactly the same entries. So when you change things over here, the changes occur here on the gain per loss per cow or for the herd size that you enter in right there. That changes automatically. So you can enter, here's a $3,000 bull with the numbers that we have in there, and that's the advantage for artificial insemination at that point. So you can change that, and if you change that to $6,000, you see the advantage changes there. So With that, I know I'm about out of time, and so I appreciate having the opportunity to chat. Thanks very much.